we're learning about the Koach HaDibur, about the power and the quality of speech. Obviously, for the purpose of understanding tefillah, we're discussing speech, and then we have to speak about kol, about the voice, about sound, and about osius, and about the letters, and how all three combine to form a tefillah. So there's a famous chapter in the Maharal that anybody who's attended shiurim previous years knows this is a Maharal that I often return to, because there's so many yesodos in it, and we just have to go through it. If it's a chazara, let it be a chazara, and if it's something which is new, then you'll have to chazar a little bit, you'll have to review it a little bit on your own. The very definition of speech itself emerges from this chapter of the Maharal and the Gerus Hashem. It has to be reviewed. It's a short chapter, and it has to be reviewed many times. We were talking about the Ruach. Now, you remember that the Ruach is that which somehow joins together the Neshama, the soul, which is, according to the Rishonim, the soul which is manifested through the intellect, which is the Shamayim part of the human being, and the Nefesh, which is the lowest part of the human being that's connected to the physical life. So basically the Ruach is the Chibur, is the connection between the Neshama and the Guf, the soul and the body. That's what the Ruach is. And we also saw that the Rishonim tell us, and it's explained at length in the writings of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, that Dibur, speech, is the most profound expression of Ruach. As we see throughout Tanakh, Ruach HaPeh, Ruach Piv, that Ruach is connected to speech. So it means that speech is somehow this connection between the Elyonim and the Sachtonim, Shemayim and Aris, that's somehow in speech. And we saw that the human being is defined by the Torah as a speaking being. When it says in the Torah, Vayihi Adam Nefesh Chaya, that Hashem breathed into man a living soul, it says he became a living soul. So the Targum translates, as we saw, Ruach Mamala, which means a speaking being. The definition of human being is one who can speak. And we saw that the definition of human being is the one who can choose. So if we bring that together, it's the speaking, choosing being. Choice is connected to Ruach, as we spoke about at length, because choice means, as is in the words of the Vilna Gaon, which is basically the words of Chazal, the Ruach, which is choice, is Olav Yoredes, right? Through the emotions, through Ratzon, one's will, one can either lift up the Nefesh, lift up the lower qualities up to Shemayim, to the Neshama. God forbid, if you make the choice, you could drag the Neshama down to the lowest place, to the world of Nefesh. So free choice is connected most to that quality, which is called Ruach. And Ruach is connected, of course, to the emotions, to will, to the heart. And it's manifested through the breath of the mouth, primarily through speech. That's basically what we're holding. So we have to understand the connection between Machshava, thought, and Maisa, and physical life, and how does this express itself in speech? What is it about speaking that does this? And then in Mela, when we understand what speech is, then we could move on to Kol and Osius and put it all together and understand what Tefillah is, and we can answer the original question of why do we have to daven? Why do we have to say the words when we're davening? Why do we have to speak? So the question the Maharal deals here with in the 20th chapter of the Gevurah Hashem, the subject of this chapter is, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak? So I tell him, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak? What was the matter with Moshe Rabbeinu's speech? So the Maharal is right at the beginning. Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem, Bi Hashem lo ish devar manochi. Lo ish devar manochi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm begging you, please, don't send me, I'm not a man of words. Lo ish devar manochi. So the Maharal says, Yesh l'hakshos Moshe shahayu lo kol ha-mailas. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most perfect human being that ever lived. He had all the mailas, he had all the great qualities, the greatest qualities that a human being could possess. Rav Shlemus ha-gufay aloi, even physically, he was the most perfected. As we know that even the last day of his life, the Torah tells us that his sight was perfect, his physical faculties were perfectly intact on the day of his death. His soul was taken with a neshika, with a kiss, but he was perfectly healthy and well. His coma, his physical form was perfectly well. When he was born, so the house was filled with light, as Rashi says, as Chazal tells us. In other words, we're talking about the perfected Tzuras HaAdam, the perfected form of a human being, both spiritually and physically. So the Maharal asks, Eich haya zeh shelo haya ish tevar v'hu nefshu v'nashleimus. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is an Adam HaShalem, how could the perfect human being lack in the most basic thing that is the very definition of man himself? The definition of human being is that he's a speaking being. And that defining feature of human life, which is speech, was lacking in Moshe Rabbeinu. He couldn't speak. The Maharal says, you should know. It's that because Moshe Rabbeinu was far removed, was removed from physical life, from Chomer, and there is no part of the human being that is as physical, there is no sense that is as physical as the mouth and the tongue, as speech. It's the most physical of all the senses. Why? Shekorach ha-re'iyah v'hashmiyah ein pu'lasem b'tnuah rak b'menucha. This is a very deep idea. In general, in all of the Maharal's writings, he teaches us that the more spiritual something is, the more stationary it is. The more spiritual something is, the less investment it makes in physical motion, in physical movement. L'mashal, when a person is thinking, you don't have to move anywhere. Feelings, when a person is feeling something, you don't have to move anywhere. Because thoughts and feelings are more transcendent, are more spiritual than physical actions. Right? Thoughts and feelings are more transcendent. Physical actions take place within the domain of my physical life. The more something moves, the more frantic it is, the more hectic it is physically, the more physical it is. So he says that, for instance, when it comes to seeing and hearing take place in a very passive way. If your eyes are well and your ears are working, that's it. If you're in the room and something, there's a noise you hear. There's something in the room that you see, it's finished. Again, you don't have to do anything. It's there. Unless you close your eyes or you shut your ears, you're going to experience this vision, this sight, and this thing that you're hearing. So they're passive. But dibur, speech, is something that requires physical animation. The more tnuah there is, the more motion, the more movement, the more investment in physical, in some level, even a small level of physical exertion, the more that act is part of the physical domain. The more something is withdrawn from the realm of that which is physical, the more spiritual it is. And he develops this idea. So he says, "Kemoshu hu la'ozen v'ayin shu palosim b'menucha v'zeh inyan sichli ki ha'geshem ho'el b'tnua." All physical things, the definition of something which is physical is that it's manifested, its physical nature is manifested through motion. All physical things move. I mean, maybe the only you can't see it with your eyes, so there's molecular movement, right? But everything that's physical moves. That's why physical things deteriorate, they get old, things die, things get rotten, because there's some motion that's taking place. If not on an apparent obvious level, then on some sort of a molecular level. But there's continuous motion. Motion means things get older and die. Things that are spiritual don't get older and die, right? The neshama doesn't die. Therefore, he says, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the power of speech. Because of the senses, speech is the most physical. If you're patient, you'll see what he says. This is an astounding thing. Speech is the most physical. And since Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the world of the neshama, he was so much more at home in the world of the spirit. Therefore, he was withdrawn from speech, because speech, as we'll see, is the very definition of physical human life. Therefore, that part of the body that the sense of speech is there's motion, there's movement when a person speaks. Vim kasha mashis bala kametzol pela hemvloy the best shamash mekepahu ikar adam ain't of his akasha lemaivin kediba batsmi and sofi came and shulai de tenuahu pol gashmi avuah yidei seichel shiyodei letzarif hadibur. This is more in parentheses. The Maharal is explaining that, of course, what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that dibur is just a purely physical act. Obviously, it requires a great deal of seichel. A person has to have great spiritual courage, great spiritual power to speak correctly, to speak properly, and to make sure that the speech comes out in the proper way. And certainly, speech is the combination of seichel, of neshama, with the physical. So he says, you can see by a child, by an infant. The infant, he says, the Maharal says, has all the kelim, has all the utensils that are necessary to speak. The child has the kelim. The vocal cords and whatever is necessary to speak, the child has them. But the child cannot speak. The child can't speak because speech is not, God forbid, he's not saying it's purely physical. We're learning that speech, somehow dibur, which is ruach, stands between the seichel, the neshama, and the guf. Right? So the child who's not mechubur, who's not attached yet to the world of neshama, so the child has all the kelim to speak, but cannot direct the seichel into speech. So there's the sounds, there's noises and so on, but there can't be articulated speech. With Moshe Rabbeinu, it was just the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu had all the neshama, had all the seichel, was the greatest soul, the greatest mind that was ever in this world, was Moshe Rabbeinu. What he was lacking was So what was lacking? No, it's okay. Be good, Mitzvah. Okay, yes, okay. So what was lacking in Moshe Rabbeinu was not the seichel. What was lacking in Moshe Rabbeinu was the physical kar hadibur. The Moshe Rabbeinu could not actually pronounce, cannot utter the sounds, cannot say the words. But the seichel was fantastic. The seichel was unbelievable. The kasha tovin zet tovin gamkin mashal mechazal beperakam apelas kshavlad yoytze la'ovir ha'ilom ba'malach v'satra al-piv ha'mashakech menu kol ha'toyra. This is the famous Gemara that the Gemara says in Nida. That when a child is born, the malach comes and gives the baby a clap on the mouth. Of course, everybody has heard since the time of children that that's why we have the little mark, and everybody has a kasha, how could it be, but goyim also have that, and all these kashas about the mark that we have on our lips. That's not in Chazal. Chazal tells us that when a human being is born, when a Jew is born, before the child comes into the world, the child is studying the entire Torah. It says in the Gemara, there's a ner dolok arosh, there's a candle lit above the child's head, whatever that means, inside the womb. And the child sees, is mabit misayfa, ilmat sayfa, the child sees from one end of the world to the other. And then when it comes time to be yosela avir ha'olam, he gets a clap, and he forgets all the Torah. The malach gives him a clap. Lom omusatra al pif. The Maharal asks, why is it that he's hit on his mouth? And it must be something deeper, like all these chazals, to just understand that on a simple level, that we're talking about a patch, what's going on? That the malach gives the child, that something happens to the mouth of the child when the child is born. In order to come into the world, the child's mouth is somehow touched by a malach. Why? Ki hu zeh asher amanu lecha. This is what I've been telling you. Ki haper shenasa by adam chai medaber gashmi, hum shakech min hakol ha'Torah. This is the main point. It's through the power of speech. The power of speech is the definition of a human being who is a chai, adam chai medaber gashmi. Before the child was born, she lived in a spiritual realm. Before the child enters into that which is called the avir ha'olam, the space of this world, the child is removed from all that's physical. Therefore, in that spiritual realm, that speechless, that silent and spiritual realm where the Torah is naturally all being absorbed, because in that realm, everything, in that world, everything is absolutely clear. There are no obstructions to holiness. So the child inside the mother, the child before birth, is not a human being. The definition of human being is an Adam Chai Medaber, a speaking being. So he says that the moment that the baby enters into the realm of physical life, what automatically happens is that the Torah is forgotten. In other words, it's not that he's forcibly, like it's shaken out of him, the Torah. By entering into the physical world, the Torah disappears. That spirituality evaporates. Because he's become now a gashmi, a physical being. This is what we're talking about. That the definition of human being is a combination of the neshama, the spiritual, and the chomer, and the physical. Before the neshama is connected to a body, the soul is on a transcendent, exists on a transcendent level. It's separate. Vazi sichlus, the gamri, is entirely spiritual. Vayeda kol haTorah. Therefore, before the child is born, the child knows the entire Torah, but not because you have to learn. The world is filled with the Dvar Hashem. The world is filled with the Dvar Hashem. It's only the physical life is blocking the Dvar Hashem, is blocking the Word of Hashem, is blocking the presence of holiness and godliness. That's all. It says, Chazal tells us that when Mashiach will come, I'm sure you're going to be happy to hear this, Chazal said when Mashiach will come, a woman will give birth every day. Chazal said, a woman will give birth every day. And the trees will have fruit, will bear fruit every day. Right? So how could that be? Shmuel says in the Gemara, "En ben olam hazeh l'maaseh Mashiach l'shiv ben malchus b'lvad." There's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach except the persecution of the nations. In other words, in the Rama Paskins, that natural order must remain. That the world will remain in its natural state. The differences will be whatever they'll be, more sublime, more subtle, but they're not going, it's not that they're going to be miracles. It's the Rama Paskins. So what does it mean that a woman will give birth every day? It's a lot of diapers. So what does that mean? The Maral says in Netzach Yisrael in the 30th chapter that's not unnatural. It's a return to what was really natural. Chava was able to give birth in a day also. This world is unnatural that we're living in now. You know how you like after Yom Kippur you hear these people say, well, I guess it's time to get back to the real world? That's wrong. Yom Kippur is the real world. This is all nutty. This is a distortion. In other words, what the Maral is saying is that that's not miraculous. That's not a perversion of the natural order. It was a natural order that's being perverted right now until Mashiach comes. And when Mashiach will come, then everything will return to its natural, proper way, to its healthy way. So the child inside the mother's womb is living in a non-obstructed state of holiness. Therefore, the Torah is that. It's all there. When the child enters into the physical realm, that shock, that transformation from a spiritual being to a combination of body and soul brings about a forgetfulness. Now what that means is, you must remember that before the child is actually born, the child is not a human being. I'm not talking about halacha now, it's called a human being inside the mother, The essential definition here before the child is born is as a spiritual creature. When is the Gemar Habriya? When is this child completed as a human being? When is the actual completion? So nigmar b'yoso v'haneshama tischar b'luch ha'beis yitzyoso nigmar b'yoso v'haneshama tischar b'luch ha'omer. It's the moment of birth where there's this amazing fusion, bringing together of body and soul. Until now, the child existed as a neshama, a neshama. Birth means that the neshama is attached to a body. V'kashet tischar haneshama laguf nasa odom chai medar begashmi. Then he becomes an Odom Chai Daber Gashmi. See how he's careful to say that always in that way, in that order. Odom Chai, a living being, Medaber, that has the potential to speak, Gashmi, and is physical. Until now, he wasn't physical. So now he forgets the Torah because he's not a Sichli anymore. He doesn't live anymore in that world of the Neshama, of the intellect. I mean, not completely. The chen tigmunklus that we just spoke about, v'hi adam l'nefesh chaya, v'hav l'ruach chaya m'malalam. Ruach chaya m'malalam, it became a speaking being. Ki adam, suroso chibra neshama, sichlis v'aguf v'yachad. The tzura sa'adam, the definition of human being is a combination of the neshama, sichlis, the intellectual, thinking, transcendent soul, with a goof, with a physical body, biyachad. And that itself gives birth to speech. In other words, that is what speech means. Therefore, man's ability to speak is the completion of his form as a human being. It's the definition, is the completion. It's what makes him human. The kol's man should be bet and ima in la ruach mamala. As long as the child is inside the mother's womb, there is no ability to speak. Actually, yaitz el ager hol until he comes out to the world. That's the meaning of the angel giving a clap. V'akol hazoy shu maka al piv. This maka, this clap that the angel gives on the mouth of the child. Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a physical clap and everybody's checking to see if they got it. They didn't get it. That's not what it means. What he's saying is the remarkable way that Chazal are telling us in halacha, when you fit the definition for something, when you finish it, when you finish an object, if you learn Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos, what's the final? It's makom patish. The gemara halacha is when you finish something, the way that it was done, the way that it still is done, that the craftsman gives that clap. I mean, the last clap that's called makom patish. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's such a thing as makom patish. That final finishing touch. Therefore, when Chazal are describing it as the creation of a human being, it's described as a clap on the mouth because the final finishing touch, which means the defining point of humanness, of humanity, of what a human being is the mouth, is the koach hadibur, which is what? Which is that part of us that is physical but can speak, can tell and speak of things that are holy and that are spiritual. In other words, it's the place of free choice more than any other place. People could be careful with Shabbos and with Kashrus and everything is good and everything is wonderful, but everybody knows when it comes to Shemir Zaloshin with campaigns and correcting. We put up the Chavos Chaim's picture every inch of the house, the Chavos Chaim's picture, and the phones with the Chavos Chaim picture everywhere. And it's so hard to speak properly. Because since the definition of the human being is a speaking being, and that's the makom hapatish, that's the final touch of what he is, it's the definition. In other words, it's the definition of human life. Therefore, ubacharta b'chaim, choose life, is going to be most profoundly connected to the point which is the definition of what a human life is, which is speech. Therefore, the hardest choices are made regarding speech. It's that border, it's that crossing point, it's the crossroads of the spirit and the body. And free choice is always the choice of whether or not I want to stick more to my neshama, or where I prefer to please my body more. So since speech stands at the crossroads between the body and soul, when it comes particularly to speech, there's going to be a profound level of bechira taking place. Listen to what the Maral says. So he says, "Rosh Hashanah Gemar Tzuros of Nikra Zehakol Piv." This is called giving a clap in the mouth. Kichen Gemar Tzuros Shel Kli Nikra Makom Patish Hamakala Kli BeGemar Ma'aseh. That's what it means. Finishing the Kli. Zel gmar malachter, chen gmar tshroshe shuhu chai medaber, hu nasa hide gmar piv shesham koyach adabri. That is the place of the koyach of speech. Vagmar Yaakov, sham nigma v'nasa odem murkav v'nanesham ha'asichlis v'guf. It's at that point of the mouth that that human being becomes a creature that is a combination of neshama, of the soul and the body. V'zeki pola dibra yidei guf. V'yevshet zebelein neshama sichlis. So it comes out that speech is an amazing thing. Speech can only work by activating physical vocal cords, by saying something that's heard in the world, which is a physical thing, but it's only meaningful if it's directed by the neshama. It's that point where the neshama and the guf must team up together. A child, a baby, can't speak because there's no seichel. An animal also has kalim to make sounds. Vain but deeper, but an animal can't speak. An animal doesn't have a neshama sichlis. I mean, scientists are spending millions of dollars every year begging chimpanzees to say something hasn't worked so far. Gmar malachta, the completion of a human being. Gmar piv, if you've ever been to Malaswam, then you know that he very often appears to be repeating himself. In the tzaddikim have a kabbalah, there's not one word that's extra, and it's just, you have to be a tzaddik to figure out why does he seem to be repeating himself. He changes things ever so slightly here and there, but he seems to repeat. That's why he forgets the Torah. Before the neshama became connected to the physical body, so the child naturally understood the whole Torah. This is Moshe Rabbeinu who can't speak. Moshe Rabbeinu was never given the final clap. Moshe Rabbeinu was so neshamadik, was so much connected to that. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was like a child before the smack. Moshe Rabbeinu was the child before the smack. Yeah? He had very limited bechira. That's why the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu that by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yiras Shamayim, Tzhakol B'dei Shamayim, Chus Miyas Shamayim, everything is in the hands of God except for the fear of God. So fear of God is the whole bechira is on how much a person fears God. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal says in Milsa Zutra, so by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's fear of Hashem was so awesome that his bechira was tiny compared to ours. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not also know how you unite the Lagashmi. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is so removed from physical things, Kimel Ma'ilan Nivdelis, he was attached to the spiritual, to the transcendent. Hayachosik Gemar Patish, that he was lacking in this Gemar Patish. He was lacking in the final finishing touch of a physical human being, a human being whose definition is a combination of body and soul. L'kach afachash yotzal avayilam, even after he was born, yodah kolotar, he knew the entire Torah, the chasrei matmeluk, kim chazal said in the pasuk, that he was a little less than God, the chazal darshan ha-maishu rabbeinu. L'kach hayachosal dovezah, therefore he was missing this thing, he was missing the power of speech, of physical speech. He had a billion trillion things to say, his nesham, his seichel was pounding away, but he couldn't say it. It wasn't brought into the physical world. Understand this because this is very clear. Listen to this. Chazal say in Gemara and Psachim that the more a person speaks, the more Irish guy that comes out. The more you talk, the more shtus. Now what does that mean? Since Hadibra Paul Gashmi, since when I am actually saying the words, I am choosing to enter into the realm of that which is physical. Therefore, the more physical words that I utter, the more I distance myself from pure seichel. The more I distance myself from seichel. Obviously, he's not talking about words of davening and learning, right? The more you speak and learning, Torah, you're deepening your understanding of Hashem. The more you're davening, the more you're attaching yourself to Hashem. But ma'abed devar, ma'abed devar. Ma'abedvar means ma'abedvar. Nothing. No, I'm not from a lashon hara. Not from a. It means ma'abedvar. Allah has come of a comma. Certainly, the things that are not permitted to say. That's time to be ma'abedvar. Ki adibu pol gashmi, ki berev dvar miyuchad ben aseichu. There's an expression that I heard somebody once told me that he was. I think maybe I mentioned this to you once. That there was a friend of mine, that he was in Williamsburg, and he years ago in a little grocery store, and he pulled something out from the shelf, and the whole, like half the store fell down. You know, one of these, like the whole shelf fell down. So the old man that owned the store went over to him and he says, I want you to know that your father is greater than the Maharami proud. So he said, my friend says, what do you mean? He says, because the Maharal was able to create a golem, but his golem couldn't, talk. Your father made a golem that knows how to talk. So it's more amazing than the Maharal. Your father made a, you know, a golem, you know, you don't know what you're doing, you're an idiot. But you can talk. It's a madrega. The Maharal's golem couldn't talk. You do it. Now you understand why the Maharal's golem is very meaningful, especially since we're living Maharal, but the Maharal's golem could not talk. You do it. That even the Maharal could not do. With all this power of Kabbalah and the shameless and names of Hashem, and that wondrous thing that took place at Ad Hayom, the Goyim in Prague, when they walk past the statue, they have the Maharal, they're terrified. Ad Hayom, when they walk past his grave in Prague, from that memory of the Golem, but the Maharal could not create a Golem that could speak, we understand. Because speech means the Chibur of the Neshama with the Guv. That's not something the human being can do. Only Hashem is Mafli La'asos. Only Hashem can do a wondrous thing, and we know that Mafli La'asos, a Pella means to join together two opposites. Only the Rebbeinu Shem can do that, the Neshama with the Guf. But now we understand, when the more a person speaks, the more risk he's taking of entering into more physical things, and more, and Stosim and Narishkeit begin to come out. It is Baruch HaMash La'ayim Moish about Pev Loshem. Ram Zudav Ezek, second page. Bring in Elam, Kohadith of Perkam de Tanis. Then Hashimish Moish should be Mehamiluim. There's an amazing thing the Maral tells us here. It says in the Gemara that, you know, during the days of the sanctification, the dedication of the Mishkan, during those days of the dedication of the Mishkan, so Moshe Rabbeinu was acting as a Kohen Gadol. Afterwards, of course, would be taken over by Aaron HaKohen. But during the days of the Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing all the Avoda, was taking care of all the work in the Mishkan. So it says there, the Gemara tells us, it doesn't seem like it's so necessary for us to know this, but the Gemara tells us what was Moshe Rabbeinu wearing during the Shiva Yimei Miluim? What was he wearing during these days of Avoda? So if Kahana Masna Becholak Lovan Shein La Yamara, Ein La Imra, the Moshe Rabbeinu wore a white robe that didn't have any seams. In Aramaic, the word Imra, Amara, means seams. It was a seamless white robe. It was one piece. I guess with a hole cut in it for the arms, but there was no seam. Now here you want to see the Maharal's Ruach HaKodesh. Look what he says now. Why does Rav Kahana have to tell us Moshe Rabbeinu is wearing? How he used to dress? So he's telling us that this is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shleimus anidal asichli b'cholak lavan v'lo hayilei amara v'roi hayil l'shamish b'zeh v'da b'zeh hu midaso cholak lavan sh'ein b'ein lo amara sh'lo hayil bal amira. In Aramaic, the word amara, imra, means a seam. And it's, of course, connected to the Hebrew word amira, which means speech. And the lips are called svasayim. The lips are called svasayim in Hebrew, which is like the svas hayam, like the shore or the beach, right? The shore, what is a shore? It separates between the ocean and land, or is the demarcation where ocean and land are sort of touching. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who was spiritual and transcendent, was wearing a white garment, which is a color that's not a color. It's removed from this world, right? It's a colorless color because it's removed from this world. And it was a garment that did not have an imra. It did not have an amar. It didn't have a seam. It didn't have lips. It didn't have amira speech. Because the mouth is like a seam between... It's like that seam between the spiritual and the physical. It's the svasayim, is the svas hayam. It's the border between the physical and the spiritual. That the edge, the seam of a garment is called an amara, because speech, amira, is the svas hayam, is the borderline of humanity. The seif of kamoshi is bar. V'chein ha'amaru hu tachlis v'seif tzuras ha'beged. That's the tachlis, the seif, the seam of a garment is what brings it all together. It's the final makir apakis, it's the final blow.
Shumidas Ha'adam. Lefichach Roy L'Moshe L'Shamish B'Cholak Lovin She'ein Le'emar. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was the speechless, spiritual, not quite human being, whatever he was, therefore it was fitting and right that he should wear a white garment that did not have a seam, that didn't have an amora. It didn't have its complete, it didn't have its mark of a patish. So I beg it as Emes Yachas, like Rolo, but Masha Moshe, Yechosra Agmar, Shabanasa, Otham Gashmi, you beg it as Yechosra Agmar Gamke. The Teda Ki Amor, Shol Beg it, Vadibra, Yinech, and Shadosh, and Bemedrish, Betz Am Rosso, Betz Am Propriety Light, Hashem Efarshim, Betz Am Rosso, Shulosh and Dibra, Betz Am Propriety Light. When it says in Eicha, when it's talking about that Hashem's words have been, we no longer, that Hashem's words of destruction were carried out and brought a disgrace upon the Jewish people in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Imraso is translated as perpaya delay, perpira delay, which means Hashem's garment, Hashem's royal clothing. That's just that you see that speech is somehow connected to a garment. Hashem Efarshim, Betz Imraso, Loshen Dibur, Betz perpira delay, Beged Sheesh Le'amor, V'advarim Yidur L'maskilim B'havein. Therefore, we understand now when it says in the Gemara, and the Chazal say on the first pasuk in Dvarim, it says Eila Dvarim Asher Dibra Moshe. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. So Chazal asks, "What's that? Since when is Moshe Rabbeinu a public speaker?" It's the Gemara's question. Chazal asks this question: how can Moshe Rabbeinu speak? Eila Dvarim Asher Dibra Moshe. Until now, we understand Aaron is who Yelu Cholapet. All of a sudden, it's not all of a sudden, it's at the end, at the very end, Sefer Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to speak. Eila Dvarim Asher Dibra Moshe. So the explanation of that is, as I'll say, that when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, his mouth was healed. He stopped stammering when he received the Torah. The reason that's not reported, for all these years until the end is because until now the Shekhinah is speaking through him. As you know, that until Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is not speaking bechlal. Either it's Aaron speaking, or the Divine Presence is speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. But there's, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is still speaking, but it's not his own words. It's not his own Kalim. Only Sefer Dvarim, which we know is, the Chazal say Sefer Dvarim, the Book of Dvarim, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking himself. So now the question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu begin to speak all of a sudden? We understand that all these years that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak, it's not him, it's Hashem speaking through his mouth. But now Hashem stops speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu seems fine. So Chazal answer that by the receiving of the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was healed. And brings the Pasuk is, Eitz Chayim Mar Peloshon, I think that's the Pasuk. Pasuk in Mishle, I believe, I don't remember. Eitz Chayim Mar Peloshon. That the Torah, which is called the Eitz Chayim, heals the mouth. It brings a cure to the Koach HaDibur of Moshe Rabbeinu. Eitz Chayim Mar Peloshon. So when does Moshe Rabbeinu begin to be a speaking creature? Only by Har Sinai. He didn't have to say anything for 40, till the end. But his speech is cured by Kabbalah Satorah. So why is that? Meaning it was adjusted to a level that could communicate with us. And physically, in other words, when we would see Moshe Rabbeinu, if we would have heard Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have said Nebuchadnezzar. We didn't understand. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was stammered, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. So on a level that you and I can understand, we saw a refuah from Moshe Rabbeinu's. But we saw a refuah. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks by Kabbalah Satorah, he has a refuah for his mouth? And you and I, we begin to speak. We think we're so much more chashuv than Moshe Rabbeinu. I began to speak, we began to speak when we were a year or 2 years old. Moshe Rabbeinu took him, he was an old man already, began to speak. See, my children once had an argument, because the older one, there's this always machlokes, the older one has more privileges than the younger one, kiyadua. There are always these problems in a family. These are good things. They're showing me good problems. So one time, my older daughter was telling my youngest daughter that the reason that she has more privileges is because she's older. So the younger one had a very good time. She says, so why should you have more privileges? Therefore, I was in the Shemaim longer than you. So good. It's true. In other words, I have more ruchnis than you. I was with Hashem longer than you. You were already, you know. But I was with the Rebbeinu Shalom longer. So listen, Moshe Rabbeinu was with the Rebbeinu Shalom for a long time. And you have to understand the difference between us and Moshe Rabbeinu. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu began to speak, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, words of Torah, the first things that you and I say is like, Mami. Hi, Mama also stands for Hashem. Melech Malchei Melachim is Mama, you know. But but that's why we first say Mama. But whereas you and I, our first words are physical. No, whatever, stam. We say whatever we say, but it's part of the physical things, nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu's first words, like a baby, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem Yehovah. In other words, the Gemara Tzura, it was the completion of this human being, Moshe Rabbeinu, is not with physical speech, it's with spiritual speech. That's the finish. That's what's different about Moshe Rabbeinu. His first words were Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Our first words are pass the bottle or whatever. But that's his first words, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the, in other words, that's the makima pachis, the final craftsman's blow on us, makes us into a physical crying, speaking, whatever that is. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbeinu Shlom's touch, he was already an old man, and then the Malach gave him a, like this, and it comes out of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, because Moshe Rabbeinu, even in the physical world, is way, way above. Way beyond, way above. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And mainly now we came out, I hope, with a little bit of an understanding, the beginning of an understanding, that the dibur, that the koach ha-dibur is pinklich, exactly at that place where the body and the soul cross, where they meet, where they touch. It's at that point, that nekuda of ruach ha-peh is the place where the neshama and the guf meet. Therefore, it's going to be the main testing ground of free choice, because free choice means the relationship between my neshama and my guf. Therefore, it's going to be necessary in tefillah, which ultimately is for the purpose of lifting up the lowest qualities of human life and raising them back up to the makar, the kul, to the source of all life, Hashem is Baruch. We're going to see that therefore tefillah means perfected speech. Davening means perfected speech. Now, in order to understand this, we're going to begin with Hashem to talk about next time a subject that if some of you were there by the Olive Base in the old days, I think it was in the Young Azul of Cedarhurst, you remember? So, I spoke one time there about the subject of Golos HaDibur, of the exile of speech. The exile of speech that took place in Mitzrayim, but the Zohar tells us that in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, speech was an exile. No one was able to speak. People were not listening, people were not able to articulate their feelings. So, Mitzrayim, next time we'll spend the next time talking about Golos HaDibur, what is the meaning of the exile of human speech, and then to understand the relationship between kol, sound, and dibur, and speech, and then how osios, letters, bring these things together, kol and dibur together, and then Bez Hashem to spend around 2 or 3 weeks on how this all fits into tefillah. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zayich in the meantime to speak good words and encouraging words and words of Kedusha, Torah and Kedusha.